Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Monday, July 16th. Let's cock-a-doodle-doo it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician. And as usual, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSW Hall of Famer, the King, Scott Angle. How you doing, Scotty? How was your weekend, man?
Good. What happened? You forgot the A?
What did I say?
FSW Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes, Scotty, when you're working with the Spitting Statistician, right, sometimes it's about my flow, my cadence. You know, I was watching a little bit about the hip-hop revolution on Netflix. It's good stuff, okay? We were talking about a little bit of rap in the 80s.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I know you know about that, and they talked about kind of the difference between the, you know, Yes, Yes, Y'all rappers to basically they were really talking about Big Daddy Kane and Rakim, and part of it was their flow. And so, you know, Speed's a spitting statistician. He's got a flow, and so sometimes he's got to drop off the A every now and then. Scotty, how was your weekend?
It was okay, you know, kind of quiet. I did hear about that show.
Okay.
I wasn't a Big Daddy Kane fan, really. In the 80s. I don't know why. You know, I know
what about Rakim?
Legendary.
You like a little Rakim?
I loved Eric B. and Rakim.
Eric B. and Rakim. What about a little Slick Rick?
You know, thought he was a donut. You tried to glaze me. You know.
yes. You know,
and who is it? Who is it you just mentioned?
Slick Rick.
Oh, Slick Rick. Yeah, yeah. I nearly dallied. I went into an alley
with
my old girl, Sally from the Valley.
From the Valley.
Of course.
Yes.
But I loved Run DMC even before, like, Walk This Way. And
oh, yeah, like my Adidas. Sucker MCs like
talk,
and stuff.
You Talk Too Much was the first song I ever heard and saw, and, like, that hooked me. And then I was a big fan of LL Cool J's first two albums, Radio and Bad. And, you know, like I've said before, I was a huge fan of Houdini.
Houdini. You know,
the Back in Black album is just probably my favorite.
All right, good stuff, yeah. Good stuff. So listen, if you want to chop it up with us from anything from, you know, 80s hip-hop to obviously fantasy football,
hey,
you can join the show. The number to call is 844-843-6879. I always got a call from my man Kenny in Philly. We'll see if he'll be there.
But what's you up, know Scotty? What, though? It was like a lot of good music in the 80s, though. I was also listening to some Motley Crue back then, too.
All right. You are a Renaissance
girls,
man.
Girls.
A lot of range out of the King, Scott Angle. Let's see what he has to say about certain running backs that I want to bounce off of him. We're going to be talking about his running back ranks a little bit today. Scotty spent a couple of minutes at Citi Field last week. We're going to hear from Mets outfielder who's having something of a renaissance, Joey Bats. We're going to keep the fun moving, as always, with the fun in functional sports radio. Scotty, I got to start with this. Remember last week the big news was Shady McCoy. You even drafted him in your kind of slow draft league, the Scott Fishbowl League. We were talking about it. We were talking about guys like Chris Ivory, guys like Tavares Cadet. How will the Bills potentially replace McCoy if, in fact, he misses time based on the allegations that took place last week? One of the things a lot of people were saying, Scott, was that this opens up the door for a guy like DeMarco Murray. A guy like DeMarco Murray who, you know, didn't want to try out for the Saints because he was looking for a place where he could really be that lead running back. Well, guess what, Scotty? He ain't going to be a lead running back anywhere. It looks like DeMarco Murray announcing his retirement after like 7 or 8 seasons out of Oklahoma, had good years for, you know, the Titans, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. This further reduces the options for a team like the Bills and the free agent pool. Did this news surprise you, Scotty?
A little bit, but I guess if you're going to say go to Buffalo or retire, you know, maybe you'll take retirement. But it did take me a little by surprise because I think you know, Murray was a guy, you know, had that great 2014 with the Cowboys, not too far removed from it. You know, did show signs of playing well when he's healthy, but Murray's career was kind of always up and down because of his health, but I felt like he still had some ability left. So, look, you know, maybe the right offer could bring him out of retirement. Maybe this is not final. You can always rescind your retirement papers. From what I know, I will say that one angle that has not been considered that I heard out of Green Bay. Now, Aaron Jones is suspended for two games. But when he returns, I think the Packers are real comfortable with Jamal Williams is what I heard one of the beat writers call their sledgehammer. Okay. And Aaron Jones complimenting him, breaking up big plays. Now, NFL trades very rarely happen during the season.
Right.
But before the suspension, there was some talk that the Packers might be looking to move Ty Montgomery. Because he's down in the pecking order if he played a wide receiver. He's down in the pecking order if he played a running back, and maybe they could get something for him. The Aaron Jones suspension kind of threw a wrench in that, but I think there's other avenues that this team can go. Very rarely do you see trades in the NFL, but they do happen. So I think somebody who might be playing running back for the Buffalo Bills, you know, we may not even have identified him yet.
That's very interesting. We talked about that Green Bay backfield. We know about Aaron Jones missing the first two games because of what is not a PED suspension, but is a substance abuse suspension. Interesting that Ty Montgomery would play like that passing kind of role. Maybe he could be an interesting complement to a guy like Chris Ivory or a guy like Shady McCoy if he is there. We will obviously keep our eyes throughout the offseason as training camps get started this and next week. Scotty, I think there's even a team
guys
are rookies report this week.
Guys are going to get cut, and you know the Bills will look to the waiver wire. But if they want someone more prominent, which I can't blame them, because you can't trust Chris Ivory, you know, I think a trade is on the horizon. Now, look, there's talk at a Jets camp that Thomas Rawls might not make the team.
Yep.
You know, maybe he ends up a Buffalo Bill.
Yep, I was going to ask you about just that, Scotty, you know, talking about my J-E-T-S, Jets. We've talked about, at least I have with Jake Seeley.
Remedial spelling exercises. In
that's right, that's right. We've talked about their wide receiver room before the Jets. Like, there's literally something like 14 guys still on the wide receiver roster right now. Everyone from, you know, you got Robbie Anderson, you have Quincy Enunwa, you have Curse, you have Terrell Pryor, who they went out and got. You have a lot of young kids like Hanson or Darius Stewart. They even have guys like Lucky Whitehead on their roster. So we've talked about the wide receivers, but their running back room. Their running back room is interestingly crowded as well, Scott. You know, they bring in Isaiah Crowell. They maintain having Boom Boom Bilal Pow Pow. Elijah McGuire kind of flashed at very short periods of time last year as that kind of like PPR pass-catching Tariq Cohen model. You mentioned Thomas Rawls as well. How do you think the Jets' backfield shakes out? It's shaping up to be one of your big-time committees, Scott. Do you think Rawls makes the roster bubble?
I think it's going to be tough for him. You know, it's Thomas Rawls' problem was that he always ran bigger than his size. Like, you know, he goes 5'9", less than 210, and he tries to run like he's 6'2", 240.
Right.
And he gets hurt a lot. And last year playing behind a bad offensive line, but also, you know, Chris Carson running behind the same offensive line at times looked a lot better. You know, Rawls had that big breakout stretch in 2015 and then suffered a big injury. I think he's got to be in the right situation. I don't know if the Jets are the right situation for him. I think Isaiah Crowell is definitely the lead runner there, and Bilal Powell can complement him. And then they have Elijah McGuire as sort of that chess piece where he's more of a valuable NFL player than a fantasy player. The Jets are developing some talent on offense there, and I can't see Thomas Rawls fitting in the picture, but I could also see Thomas Rawls getting picked up by somebody like the Bills and trying to show that he's still got something left. But, you know, injuries have also, quickly taken a toll on him in his career. He's already gotten hurt a bunch of times.
Yeah. No, that's
you
true.
Worry not only did that hurt his on-field production, but just when he runs last year, it's just like you didn't see the same burst out of the backfield that he had in 2015.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, a guy like Rawls, who is supposed to be, like you mentioned, this kind of violent runner a little bit, but he's not. He doesn't have the size to make up for that. I do remember, Scott, because I had him on my team. It was towards the end of a season, about 3 years ago, I would say, where I think he had back-to-back, like, 200-yard games almost, Scott, right? Or something where I remember one game, he had, like, 30 carries, and they started thinking that he had the potential to be a little mini beast mode for them, but it never fully realized a lot of it because of injury. People were always thinking he could be the guy, never really showed himself last year, got a chance to hang on with the Mets. I mean, with the Jets.
With 2016, I remember he was getting drafted in the first and second round.
Yep.
People thought he was the next coming of Beast
Mode. The heir apparent of Beast Mode,
And it just didn't turn out because of the injuries.
That's right. So now he's probably going to be in a place where he's whether he makes this Jets roster or not. If he doesn't, he will probably be, Scotty, you know how like every team has kind of like that in case of emergency break open glass kind of list? He's probably on that list for teams at the running back position in case injuries happen or anything like that. Scotty, another guy I do want to ask you about. I want to ask you about Philadelphia Eagles running back Darren Sproles. Darren Sproles last year, you know, kind of said that was going to be his last year. And then he gets hurt, and you don't want to go out like that, okay? So he's deciding to come on back and has announced that this year will be his last year. It's kind of like Mariano Rivera, who tore his ACL and what many people thought was going to be his last year, didn't want to go out like that, is coming back for one more year. Here's my question for you, Scott, two parts here. One, the Philadelphia Eagles running back room is very crowded, as we know, between Ajayi and Clement and guys like Smallwood and Donnell Pumphrey even. I don't know that those guys are ahead of Sproles, but what kind of role does Sproles have on this team? And then secondly, I don't know if you saw this, Scott, but Darren Sproles is eighth in the NFL all time in all-purpose yards, okay? Eighth all time. To get up to number five all time, and surpass the Hall of Famer Tim Brown, he would need 527 all-purpose yards this year. Think he gets it this year in his swan song? 527 all-purpose yards. Remember, that includes special teams for a guy like Tiny Darren. What do you think about Sproles and his fit this year with the defending champs?
I don't think that, you know, that's a lot of yardage to get necessarily. We talk about from all-around perspective. If he's healthy, I think he could still be a factor, even though his age is 35. Mm-hmm. You know, we still saw him putting up pretty good numbers before he got hurt. And look, here's some proof that the 30-year-old running back theory is not always applicable. You know, that this guy has been a physical marvel as small as he is. He's never been built to have a lot of carries or running back, but every team has used him judiciously. So Ajayi is obviously the banger. I think Corey Clement's kind of a wild card, and they want Sproles to be that guy before maybe passing it off to Pumphrey next year. Fantasy-wise, you know, I don't think you can rely on him, but I don't remember ever when I could rely on Darren Sproles, and he was never more than a DFS play. He never ended up on my rosters. You know, there was the year that he caught 70 passes for the Saints. Yeah. But, you know, that's when he was very useful in fantasy, but that came and went pretty quick.
That's true, and there have been stretches of a few games, whether through injuries to the rest of his team or something like that, where I remember a couple years ago the Eagles were actually employing him, like, ironically enough, literally on early downs. They were running him straight behind, like, between the tackles, and people were like, this can't happen, but it did. Maybe that was, like, maybe about 4 or 5 weeks. There was a stretch of time.
Yeah, you talk about injuries. You know, it happened with the Chargers at one point.
Right, and even with the Saints.
Talk about also want to surprise the defense, too, though. And,
yeah.
You know, that's something that they want to do as well. But, you know, there was a stretch in 2011, 86 receptions, 7 touchdowns. 2012, 75 and 7. For those 2 years, he was 2011, 2012, he was a really viable fantasy running back, but ever since he's gotten to Philly, you know, he hasn't topped 450 receiving yards or 45 receptions. I'm sorry, or 55 receptions. So, he's been less useful. But there was a three-year stretch where, you know, he was a very useful, unique fantasy running back.
Absolutely. So let me ask you it this way, Scotty, because, you know, listen, I hear you. Maybe he's not someone you want on your fantasy team, but the frustration for me comes, and this is the definition of the, like, why running back by committees frustrate you. You know what I mean, right? Like, so we talked about the other guys in Philadelphia. I agree with you, Scott, that Darren Sproles himself is not going to be a viable fantasy asset for fantasy owners, but he's going to do enough that it potentially hurts other running backs in the Philadelphia backfield, right? So when you talk about Ajayi, you talk about Clement, I know there's some others there. We mentioned that Pumphrey may be an intriguing heir apparent to a guy like the Darren Sproles role moving forward. But, like, who does this hurt the most? Does this hurt Clement the most, or does this hurt Ajayi the most when you look at the other pieces of the committee in Philadelphia?
I can't imagine it hurts Ajayi because you never really expected him to catch passes right in the first place. So, if anything, you know, maybe it hurts Clement, you know, who had a great run as a pass catcher in the playoffs. But then again, let's remember that Darren Sproles is still 35 years old. Can we trust him to stay healthy?
I don't know. I don't know. I hear you. I mean, but I would say this, you know, he's had things like ACLs and stuff. I guess that those are soft tissue injuries, but you got to figure he's going to give it one last run. So I'll tell you what, regardless of what he does for your fantasy team here at Roto Experts in the Morning, I do want to tip our cap to Darren Sproles, who will probably finish in the top five all time in all purpose yards. That is a significant achievement for Tiny Darren scoring all the tiny touchdowns. One other guy that I want to ask
What's
you about.
What's amazing is you watch film of him, and when they do give him the ball, you know, he's not afraid to take on, you know, bigger guys, bigger ball carriers, you know, when they do give him the ball. So, you know, one of the most admirable guys you've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's something like 5'8 or 5'9.
5'6. No, he's 5'6.
Even crazier. 5'6 and making it happen.
Let me look it up. I'm not sure what the weight is, but I know the height is like 5'6 because I used to argue about it. Like sometimes when LaDainian Tomlinson used to get hurt, they would say, oh, well, Sproles will be the handcuff. I'd be like, no, he's 5'6".
He's
5'6", 190.
All right. Wow. So, and I mean, like, he's getting it done. He's had an extensive NFL career. In fact, when all is said and done, there's probably only going to be about four players all time who have ever gone more yards in the NFL than Darren Sproles. Scott, last guy I want to ask you about, I saw more buzz over the weekend for second-year Tennessee Titan wide receiver Corey Davis. Listen, he is getting a lot of buzz. Everybody likes this guy. Last year, comparisons were made for the size-skill kind of comparison to Terrell Owens. Even our guy Jake Seeley said things like this. Here's my question, though, Scotty. I am never, you know, when we talk about wide receivers, it's not only their skill. You have to really think about the offense that they are in. And last year when he was a rookie, Corey Davis was in an offense that was literally titled Exotic Smash Mouth. That is not the case anymore, right? They bring in Deion Lewis. They're hoping Corey Davis takes a step. Talk to me. What do you expect this year out of Corey Davis, especially because the offense is evolving? It looks like they may try to do a little bit more in the passing game this year. It looks like they want Mariota to kind of take another step. We've talked about Mariota and Winston coming into year four, kind of a make or break for them. Do all signs point to maybe them trying to really utilize Corey Davis and him taking that second year leap?
Two of the top rookies drafted last year where we just didn't see anything out of them because of injury are Corey Davis and Mike Williams. And
John Ross too. As a wide receiver. No?
But
all three of them were first round picks last year. We didn't really see.
Yeah, but I'm not expecting John Ross
to make a believer
type of fantasy impact the other two guys do.
Okay.
More of, I think, a situational speed merchant and a less complete guy than the other two. So that's why
like a Will Fuller type
two and not Ross. Well, he's not playing with as good a quarterback as Will Fuller. So, so just focusing on Davis and Williams, which is what I intended to do. Those are two guys very interesting to watch. This might be more than their true rookie seasons because they both missed so much time and so much time to get into the flow of the game, the speed of the game, the fundamentals. And Corey Davis is a toy that Marcus Mariota has never had. So I think, you know, talent-wise, he may be even more talented than Mike Williams, but Mike Williams, I think, is in a better situation. These are two guys I'm very interested to see what their upside is this year because I think it's unlimited, but you just don't know what the floor is with Davis.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I'm interested in seeing both of those guys. I am going to have shares of Mike Williams this year, Scotty, because also when you consider, when you look at the wide receiver core in Los Angeles with the Chargers, I also think that Mike Williams is the best position to absorb some of that. I know how you like to say the green zone. I think he's going to be the main beneficiary of no Hunter Henry there for the Chargers. When you think about some of their other wide receivers that they have, you know, Keenan Allen is an amazing, you know, wide receiver one for your fantasy team, right? But he's more of a, I think he's more of a smooth in and out of routes kind of guy. He's not like that big bodied, you know, outside wide receiver that you have the high point fades to, like a Brandon Marshall or a Kelvin Benjamin. I think Mike Williams fits that, and so I could see them looking to him in the red zone, really furthering, boosting his value. Would you agree with that, that he stands to benefit from the Hunter Henry injury? Mike Williams?
I do.
Okay.
You know, he's a big target, and, you know, wide wingspan, great catch radius. I think it fits.
All right, fair enough. So we shall see. Remember, guys, if you want to get all the insight, not only do you got to listen to Roto Experts in the morning every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m., but you also got to go on over to rotoexperts.com and get the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, okay? There you have all sorts of great articles and insight. You get my man Scott Angle, the King's Rankings. You get our guy, the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, the number one fantasy accuracy expert in the business. You get all sorts of things, customizable cheat sheets. You get, you know, and it's all season long, okay? Don't forget, enter the promo code THEKING at checkout, and then, as always, you'll be able to chop it up with us as we continue to talk fantasy football all the way through the season here, 7 to 9 a.m. The number to call is 844-843-6879. All right, Scotty, you know, we looked at your rankings. We've talked about your rankings of, say, like quarterbacks before. We looked at your running back ranks a little bit last week, but there was so much news going on with things like LeSean McCoy, some of the interviews we had, that we only got through, like, I would say, the top half of your running back ranks, right? And so we understand about the workhorses. We understand about some of these new rookies that we've talked about, the Geises, the Freemans, the Ronald Jones. But honestly, Scott, I think the back half is where your draft is won, right? If you get that guy a little bit later on who's the one that pops off, you will be in position to win your leagues and win that cash. So I want to look at a little bit the bottom part of your running back ranks. And the first question I have for you is this. I see that Marshawn Lynch, you have ranked a little bit higher than other people. And I also see that LeGarrette Blount, you have ranked dramatically higher than other people. Similarly, for a guy like CJ Anderson in Carolina, you're higher on these kinds of guys than others. And what do I notice about all of these guys? These guys are like the kind of bangers. They're the inside the tackle kind of early down guys. But what they also are going to be the undisputed goal line backs for their teams. And I'm kind of seeing a trend in your ranking, Scott. I wanted to test the theory with you. It seems to me like in this age where we have so many committees and we are in so much of a passing league, that the guaranteed 6 points of a rushing touchdown is more solid for your fantasy like score than the rushing yards or guessing who's going to get some carries or, you know, catches. I kind of think if you can nail these goal line backs, I'm reminded of, you know, Jerome Bettis all the time, 4 carries for 4 yards, but 3 touchdowns, that plays in fantasy. Is there anything to your rankings where I see some of these kind of big guys a little bit higher up than I would have anticipated? Guys like Lynch, guys like LGBT, guys like CJ Anderson. Is that because you're hanging your hat on the rushing touchdowns, Scott? Do we have Scotty? We got the King, Scott Angle. I'm talking to him about his ranks in the running back. There he is.
Yeah. I don't have Lynch as high as some other people do, but, you know, I kind of got him in that same tier because, you know, when you look at guys who can cash it in the green zone, which is about from 5 yards or out, or, you know, there's different ways to describe the green zone. I've heard Pro Football Focus call it like the 5-yard line and in. because we talk about the red zone, but the green zone is where the money is made. That came from Tom Coughlin, who said, for us, it's the green zone. It's not the red zone because
that's
where we make our money. But I kind of like – I've heard people describe it as the area between the 10, the 5, et cetera. You know, I've heard it used different ways. But I mean the area like right near the goal line. You talk about the red zone, it's the 20 and out. You know, you can't can the ball on the 20 and have at the 18 and have that to be a goal line carry. But I digress, though. It's – you know, when you're talking about these guys, like look at like Aaron Blunt. You know, he's going back with Matt Patricia, who's from New England, right? And and Bob Quinn, the GM, has said, this team, we want it to be tough. We want it to be more physical. No team was worse in the red zone last year than the Lions. They are looking to change that
last
culture
few years.
With a guy like Garrett Blunt. And to me, he's going to be the finisher for them. I like Kerryon Johnson, but he runs very upright and maybe is not made for that goal line role. We talk about LeGarrette Blount getting in the end zone. That's 6 points there. To your point, that's as much as 60 rushing yards.
Yeah, and that's definitely going to happen. Remember, this guy is only a couple years removed from scoring like 17 or 18 with the New England Patriots. Hey, Kenny in Philly, I see you there. We're going to take your call right when we come back right here on Roto Experts in the Morning. It is the King, Scott Engel, spitting statistician Dane Martinez. We're chopping it up on a Monday, brand new week. Get it started with us, Kenny in Philly, when we come back, Roto Experts in the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy. Freestyle. You know about my concept of the fantasy herd. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks. I really can see a universe where they all are literally within 10 targets of each other. Within one or two touchdowns this year. You look at their ADP, Brandon Cooks is going miles ahead of Woods and Kupp. So I think that means that Cooks in this group is the Fugazi. I don't think he represents value for you, relatively speaking. They're all going to have weeks where they pop off, thus the fantasy herd.
Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, I'm Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. After I left baseball, I just couldn't stay in shape like I used to. Turns out, once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone, and that can make it harder to get into shape. So I got back into the game with Nugenix. I'm feeling stronger with a lot more energy and drive. You want to get back into shape? Get Nugenix.
All you have to do is send one simple text.
Frank's right. Just text YOUTH to 321321 to get a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And guys, she'll like the difference too.
Nugenix samples are not available in stores. To get your complimentary bottle, text YOUTH to 321321. That's YOUTH to 321321.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
Fantasy Football Frenzy.
I don't know where I'm at on Isaiah Crowell yet, y'all. Definitely not going to draft him in the second round. I tell you that.
It's almost as bad as my CJ Anderson.
Yeah,
I think you got to kind of like him, though, where he's going, right?
Oh, no, I'll take him. I'll take him and put him on my bench.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not going to abandon Isaiah Crowell.
Like, Crowell isn't going to crush him. Even if, say, he was terrible.
Yeah.
He's not going to crush him.
This year, I don't have to worry about him.
Would you consider him last year's Grinch?
He was the Grinch last year. He killed Christmas.
Weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Here we go, now holla if you hear me, though. Come on, feel me, flow. Nobody's got the flow like the spitting statistician. My man Chris Pavona, the manimal, down there in the fantasy pit of misery, making us sound good dilly dilly to him as we put the fun in functional sports content here on Roto Experts in the Morning, right here in the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're chopping it up about fantasy football. We were talking about some of the running backs, and don't get it twisted, okay? Because of the evolution of this league, some of those goal line kind of guys, the CJ Andersons, the Marshawn Lynches, the LeGarrette Blunts, they provide a safer floor on many cases because of those touchdowns, the 6 points that you get, as the King, Scotty Angle, was saying, is, you know, equates to 60 yards rushing. So don't forget about these kinds of guys a little bit later on in your draft. And I'm telling you guys, the number to call to get down with us is 844-843-6879. Before we go back to some of the running back ranks and some of Scotty's conversation with Jose Bautista, hey, Scotty, we got our guy on the line, Kenny in Philly. He's getting down. He wants to put the fun in functional sports radio right here with Roto Experts in the Morning. Hey, Kenny, Monday morning. Happy Monday to you. How you starting off your week, brother man?
How you doing, Cowboy?
Hey, man, happy Monday to you. I hope you had a good weekend. Man, it's starting to smell more like green grass, man. The season's getting closer and closer and closer.
Sure is. Are you ready for some football?
Green grass is baseball. All right.
Well, I smell grass.
It could there be you turf, go. You know? Could be field turf.
It smells good to me, Kenny, whatever it is. I'm ready for it.
Cool. Funny story about Darren Sproles. He comes – I actually see him pretty often when he comes in there, coming into the city because I work at the airport or whatever. So I see him, and every time I see him, I'm like, come on, man. You know, you – come on back to the Saints, man. Every time I see him, so he already knows what's coming when I see him. I'm as far as him maybe possibly getting up that like 500 some yard. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know because like right now he's well. Of course, camp hasn't started, but right now he's on the depth chart as the punt returner. So I'm not sure whether
it doesn't matter. The depth chart doesn't matter. First off, lie. No, you're lying. Okay, nobody sees Darren Sproles. Right,
you got to search for him through the herd.
Second off, it doesn't matter where he is on the depth chart. You know, they'll work him in regardless if he's healthy.
Right, so we'll see if he gets those.
You're talking about a depth chart on July 16th.
I know. Yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at. On the Corey Davis thing, I'm not sure how much of a factor he's going to be with Tajay Sharpe there and the Tywan Smith. Ooh. I mean, Sharpe.
Yeah, Tajay but I'm Sharpe. Saying, you know, those guys are. You know, he could easily surpass them in the pecking order.
Yeah, but they're there, and, you know, Mariota's.
Yeah, they're Walker, there.
Mar Walker and Rashad Matthews, and, I mean.
Deion Lewis there, too, now this year out of the backfield.
They didn't draft this guy to keep him behind Tajay Sharpe, okay, as much as I, you know, I like Tywan Taylor's got some upside. They drafted him to be a big difference maker. He's just got to stay healthy.
Yeah, I agree. Well, wait, that's pretty much all I got for the day, guys.
No problem, Kenny. Thanks for checking in as usual down there as a Saints fan.
Sorry
I hope
to
you get
stomp
to...
all over Kenny. There,
yeah, Scotty's in a bad mood today. Went hard on Kenny in Philly.
Look, it's tough love. I love the guy.
That's all right. Yeah. I'm sure Kenny can accept it. I'm sure it's not the first time. I hope and he's having a good day standing up and getting crunk with all the rest of the Saints fans. But it's true. Listen, he could probably get that amount of yards literally just in the return game to go out and be top five all time, Scotty. But I do want to shift gears for a minute. You know, this is kind of the Midsummer Classic this week. We got the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. And Scotty, I know, don't sleep on it because you're the person who wants to be able to still talk baseball because we have some interviews. You spent a couple of minutes with Joey Bats of the New York Mets, who's having something of a little renaissance. It looked like he was washed going into the year. He latched on with the Braves for a hot second, didn't do much, but is helping and contributing to the New York Metropolitans. What'd you talk with Joey Bats about?
Basically, you know, about how tough it was during the offseason about to get signed. And, you know, they're getting cut loose by the Braves, but now he's found a niche with the Mets. And also, he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Oh, he is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Let's see if he knows anything about the Steelers. Mike Tomlin saying that we may have some news on Mr. Lev Bell coming up soon. We shall see ahead of the 4 p.m. deadline today. We'll see what Joey Bats has to say about the Steelers. Cue it up, Scotty. Let's get that Mr. Red going. Let's hear it straight from the horse's mouth. This is Scott Angle with Joey Bats, Roto Experts in the Morning.
Scott Engel of Fantasy Sports Network here with Jose Bautista of the Mets. Jose, a little bit of a bumpy journey, but here you are back in the middle of the Mets lineup. How are you feeling about, what it took to get here?
I'm feeling good personally, good physically, and thankful for the opportunity that the Mets have given me, and just glad that I'm here and contributing. Hopefully we can figure out a way to win some more ball games and make this summer a fun one here for everybody and the team and for the fans.
When during the off season, maybe it was a little tough, to hang on with the team. Did you just never lose faith about the matter?
Well, I guess my situation was a little different. I did have opportunities. I just didn't pull the trigger because they weren't the right ones for me. I don't want to get into all the details because every opportunity is different, and that'll take a little while to analyze each one. But I waited till the right one came up, and I wanted to go to a contender. The Braves gave me a chance. Unfortunately, it didn't work out, and now I'm here with the Mets. When I came here, the team was looking not too bad, only two games behind. It's not the same situation now, but we're looking to change that.
This turned out to be a really ideal fit for you, didn't it? It's like you're back in like the middle of the lineup, hitting for power, getting on base, doing what you do.
Well, I just hope to continue to do what I've been doing, and hopefully we can get all the guys healthy, like I said, and start winning more ball games.
And, as far as, being here in New York, playing in the big city, how's the adjustment been so far?
Well, Toronto's, I feel like, a pretty decent-sized city. So it's a big market as well, especially since they're the only team in the whole country. But it has been an adjustment nonetheless. It was an adjustment to go to Atlanta as well. And I like it so far. I've always liked New York as a visiting player on both sides of the city. But I'm really enjoying Long Island. I recently got a place, rented a place there, and just enjoying the neighborhood and, the sights, and looking to get to know Long Island a little bit better.
Mickey Callaway says a big reason why you've been such an asset to this team is because you're in good a shape as any 25-year-old. Is that something you pride yourself on, still being in great shape at this age?
I think so. But I think all these other guys do as well. It's just about hard work, dedication, and really understanding what's going to allow you to continue to be successful long term. And I feel like that's something that I'd like to pass on to some of these other guys at this point in my career, just how maintaining your body in optimal shape is going to allow you to continue to be successful later on in your career.
And do you feel like being with this team is a good fit for you in that regard? You get to, take younger guys under your wing and help the ball club in that sort of way?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that you get to do as long as you're not solely on a team to do that and not going too much out of your way. I guess just leading by example is the best way to do it, but I'm trying to just do what I do and stay ready every day, and if the other kids can kind of pick things up here and there off of what I do, then that's going to be great.
I know you're a Steelers fan. How did you become a Steelers fan, and how much are you looking forward to the new season?
Well, I got drafted by Pittsburgh in 2000, signed with them in 2001, and since then playing in the minors, and my wife being from Pittsburgh, having met her back in 2004, just been following the Steelers. It's being a part of her family. There's definitely no other team that you can be a fan of in the NFL, so that just made it even an easier choice for me. But being a fan for 15 or so years has been great. Just getting to know the players and following the team, very successful franchise, and as everybody knows, and just a great team to be a fan of.
Do you have a terrible towel?
I do. We have everything, jerseys, terrible towels. We even have some funny hats that you can, drink some beverages out of, all kinds of stuff. So it's fun.
Last one for you. I know you play fantasy football. How much are you looking forward to the new season? And you'll probably be in a new league in the Mets clubhouse.
Well, hopefully I'll be in two new leagues, in the Braves and the Mets, and the old league and the Blue Jays. So hopefully I can take one of them. And I'm also a participant in another league. So hopefully I can take the championship home. I did 2 years ago, and I've struck out in my other league with some local, actually friends from New York that I'm in a league with. So hopefully I can take the crown back.
Thanks a lot, Jose.
All right, thank you.
There you go, the King, Scott Engel, spending a couple of minutes with Joey Bats. Jose Bautista, outfielder for the New York Mets. I thought it was interesting, Scott. He talked about the adjustments he makes, not only, you know, on the field, but even in his lifestyle. You know, needs to get used to the new neighborhood out there in Long Island. And then, like so many other players we've talked about, really how they use fantasy sports for the same kind of things, the same kind of camaraderie with the teams they play, and how they're looking forward to, you know, do well this season, defend the title. What'd you take away from your time with Joey Bats?
Well, it's very interesting about, you know, how he's taking advantage of an opportunity with the Mets, you know, with the injuries to Jay Bruce, et cetera. It was a tough offseason for him to try to get a deal that he liked. Ended up signing a minor league contract in April with the Braves, and then got cut by them. And then in midseason, hooking on with the Mets. And, you know, he's hit 7 home runs with a .365 on base percentage. If you're playing an OBP league, you know, he's been a little bit of a nice fantasy pickup. And, you know, this is a guy that still has a ton of power, hit a walk-off 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he can still be useful to a baseball team. He's not what he was, obviously, when he was a, you know, first-round pick a few years ago, but he can still be useful in fantasy. And then, you know, just talking about the Steelers and fantasy football, he's like one of those guys who's in, like, three leagues at a time. Some guys only want to be in one league, but he'll be in, like, three fantasy football leagues at a time. You know, a guy originally came from the Dominican Republic, and well, I don't think NFL football is big, but, you know, when he got into the culture in Pittsburgh, how can you not, you know, just be overwhelmed by what goes on in that city with the Steelers?
Yeah, it sounds like his in-laws were making sure that he was waving the terrible towel. So we give our thanks to Joey Bats for spending a couple of minutes with us here on Roto Experts in the Morning. Scott, there is one more thing I want to touch on baseball before we go back to your running back ranks. And that is, I saw over the weekend that the St. Louis Cardinals decided to fire their manager, Mike Matheny. And I look at this, the Cardinals are 2 games over .500, Scott. Yes, they're 7.5 back of the Cubs in the NL Central. But listen, they're over .500. They're still kind of around there in the wild card race. I want to get your reaction that they moved on from Matheny. And then also, do you think this is any kind of a telltale sign on if the Cardinals will be buyers or sellers in the next couple of weeks? I'm starting to hear, like, if they're sellers, they certainly have some chips that they could be interested, that could move. I'm thinking about a guy like Bud Norris specifically. We know how relievers, there's a hot market. If they're like, or does the firing of Matheny not signal something like this to you? What do you think about that move? I was caught slightly off guard. A team 2 games over .500 got rid of their manager halfway through the season.
Well, they feel like they're underachieving, and depending on how they come in the All-Star break will determine whether they buy or sell. And you have to watch this, you know, especially in fantasy baseball, because if a guy like Bud Norris gets dealt, will he close wherever he's gone? You know, he's got near 20 saves, I think. He's career transformation for him over the last few years, the way he's become a closer when he was kind of a mediocre starter. And I know Bud personally, and I'm very happy for him. And but that means that Jordan Hicks would probably get the chance to close for the St. Louis Cardinals. So I think you have to watch stuff like that. You know, this team is underachieving, but, you know, right now the team that strikes me as underachieving the most is, man, just like the Washington Nationals, this team floating around .500. I mean, if Bryce Harper leaves during the offseason, his era in Washington is going to be marked by underachieving and failure, I think, because that team has never won a playoff series. They look like they might not even make the playoffs this year. So, and, you know, they've changed managers so much, but I can't imagine the Nationals being sellers. I can imagine the Nationals want to be buyers because they think they still have enough talent to contend, but it's never meshed. You know, there are things that I hear inside reports out of that clubhouse that just some of these, you know, these big name guys just don't get along. And the Nationals were in town over the weekend. I've always felt like the Nationals clubhouse is probably like my least favorite clubhouse to work. It's just like you detect a lot of tension and a lot of pressure in there, and a lot of guys don't want to talk.
And listen, there has been a lot of pressure on the Washington Nationals. I would say for the last 2 or 3 years, many people going into the season, people thought that they were contenders. There's a lot of pressure on people on this team. Think about it, from Bryce Harper to Max Scherzer to Steven Strasburg. There are a lot of big names who have had pressure. And, you know, you are absolutely right, Scott. They have kind of underwhelmed when it comes to being one of those elite championship contenders. But, Scotty, enough about baseball. We have
the Midsummer
Classic
tomorrow. Well, fantasy-wise, though, before we go on, though, Harper, you know, has been a fantasy disappointment. Now, sure, if he finishes the year in this fashion, 2 out of the last 3 years, Strasburg has never stayed healthy. You got what you wanted out of Scherzer, for sure, but you got guys who Daniel Murphy's gotten hurt.
Trey Turner underwhelmed based on what he fought this year, too.
He started to turn it around, though. Anthony Rendon, as long as he stays healthy, you know, he can really give you something. Gio Gonzalez has been okay. And don't forget to listen to Popping Off this week with Danny Okers and Ashley Abreu here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I did a special interview with them, with Gio Gonzalez, in which he talks about just how much he loves Marvel Comics and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Ooh, that should be interesting. Keep it locked for Popping Off here a little bit later on in the week. I believe they are on Wednesday nights right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Sir. Danny Otto, Bodega Cat, Ashley Abreu, they do good stuff over there. Bodega and it's also, Cat. I think it's Comic-Con this week, so you know Popping Off is going to be all over that. Scotty, I do want to go back to your running back ranks, okay? Because we talked about some of the bruisers, some of the goal line backs, right? And you had a lot of those guys in, let's say, in your 30s, you know, guys like Marshawn Lynch at number 30, four spots ahead of the consensus. Guys like LeGarrette Blount at 32. You had 25 spots ahead of consensus. CJ Anderson, 8 spots ahead as well as your running back 33. As I look a little bit lower on your ranks, I'm starting to see the committees and the timeshares, Scotty. Okay. For example, I see Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones within 6 spots of each other, right? I see Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell. You know, I see guys, you know, you start to see multiple people from the same team, Kerryon Johnson and Theo Riddick. I want to ask you specifically about, we mentioned it at the top of the show, the Green Bay Packers, okay? And here's what I want to ask you about. I know Aaron Jones is missing the first 2 games, and Jamal Williams will kind of have that opportunity maybe to take the job, but check out their schedule. And I know you'd say we can't think about it necessarily from week to week, but I did talk with Jake Seeley about this, and he finds it interesting as well. First 2 games for the Packers this year, Scott, Chicago and Minnesota. Right? Those are 2 run defenses that finished in the top 10 last year, okay? So that's what Jamal Williams is going to have his chance against, right? Now, I can see a universe where he underwhelms a little bit. You know, he is facing the Minnesota Vikings, for goodness sakes, right? And then Aaron Jones comes back. Next 3 games for the Packers after that, when Aaron Jones is back in the fold, Washington, Buffalo, and Detroit. 3 bottom-tier run defenses. I'm setting this up. Do you see a narrative where Jamal Williams gets his crack, maybe underwhelms a little bit, and then when Aaron Jones comes in and looks like the Calvary because they're playing potentially worse, you know, running defenses where it looks like he could be better, making that timeshare a little bit cloudy again? How do you think this plays out with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams? I know we talked about Ty Montgomery maybe being kind of without a chair when the music stops, but I think this is interesting that Williams may have a tougher road to go at it, and Aaron Jones could be viewed as the saving Calvary when he comes back in week 3.
I don't necessarily – well, what's to say that Jamal Williams won't have good games in that 3-game stretch? You know, why are we just giving it to Aaron Jones?
Because he would be the person coming back. You know, he would be Jamal Williams will
Which
have
means
had his
he would
attempt.
Be behind schedule. He's missed 2 games. He would be in a rhythm. Yeah, he would be in a rhythm. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see any reason to necessarily hand anything to Aaron Jones when he's come back off a 2-game suspension. Now, look, Minnesota's got the best defensive line in the NFL. But yet, let's remember one thing right out of the gate. The Packers will never be a run-first team, ever.
Not when Aaron Rodgers is healthy.
Yeah, not when Aaron Rodgers is healthy. They'll be thrown in the red zone. That's why they picked up Jimmy Graham. They'll be thrown at Devontae Adams in the red zone. So you have to remember that. I think you just have to look at it overall. They're 2 different styles of runner. They, like I said, you know, beat writers. I saw one of the beat writers describe Jamal Williams perfectly. Rob Reichel said he's their sledgehammer. Aaron Jones is more of the big play guy, so they complement each other. And in that way, fantasy-wise, they're going to cut into each other's carries. So whether it's game one or game three, both of those guys, I think, they complement each other, and it's going to be a pure timeshare. But then you also have to remember that it's not going to be a run-first team regardless, too.
So let me ask you this. Because, you know, you're right, right? With Aaron Rodgers on the field, the Green Bay Packers are going to throw the ball. So that being said, why isn't there maybe more optimism around Ty Montgomery? If they're going to be throwing the ball, isn't Ty Montgomery the one who's in that role for the Packers?
They're not going to be throwing I didn't say they were going to be throwing the ball to the running backs in the red zone.
Okay, but I'm just saying if they're a passing team, which I agree with you that they are with Aaron Rodgers at the helm, you don't think that they're going to have that, at least you don't think he's going to be on the field more because they're a passing team? Maybe some screens to him, the kind of out of the backfield shotgun formation?
It could be, but that's not how they operate. I mean, you look at when Jordy Nelson was there. They threw so much to him in the red zone. Aaron Rodgers, if something isn't there, will take off and run himself. They'll throw to the second tight end. They'll throw to the fullback. You never know what you're getting running back-wise when it comes to the Packers inside the five-yard line.
All right, fair enough. One other team, Scotty, that you never know what you're going to get when it comes to the running back position that I want to ask you about is the New England Patriots, Scotty. I see that you have rookie out of Georgia, Sony Michel, ranked as your number 28 running back, the rookie who they did invest some draft capital in. So if you're looking for signs, maybe they like him. You have him slightly below the consensus. Then I see you with Rex Burkhead as well, all the way down at running back 51, far below the consensus. Don't forget about guys like, say, oh, I don't know, Mike Gillisley. They bring in Jeremy Hill. It is a committee, to be sure, in New England. Help me make sense out of what kind of roles you may see happening in New England, or do you, like I and like most people, just stay away from the running back situation in New England like the plague because trying to figure out Bill Belichick is a fool's errand?
Yeah, it's like, you want me to make sense of it? Well, people have been saying that for, what, at least 12 years right now. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a dependable running back since Corey Dillon. Maybe Sony Michel becomes that guy, but I certainly can't bank on it. You know, they did draft him high, so maybe he becomes their lead runner, sort of. They're the guy that they hand the ball most to outside the 20s. But Burkhead's going to have his role. James White is going to have his role. Gillisley. This team constantly tries to keep defenses off balance with a variety of running backs, and I don't see anything changing wholesale here. So, Burkhead last year, it's like when he finally started playing well, I put him in my lineup, and then he fizzled out. It's the Patriots are not a team. Yeah, the Patriots are not a team where you can look at the last few weeks and say, okay, this guy's playing good. Let me plug him in, because as soon as you do, that's when he doesn't get enough work or doesn't play well enough, because defensive coordinators are looking at it the same way and saying, oh, Burkhead's doing good. Well, you know, maybe we need to shine a defensive light on him. And Belichick's like, no, I'll use somebody else. So you kind of have to look at the Patriots like a defensive coordinator would. Like, this team's done this the last few weeks. Well, they might go in another direction now, and that always frustrates the hell out of you as a fantasy owner.
Yeah, absolutely. So whether it's Sony Michel, whether it's Rex Burkhead, whether it's James White, the King Scott Angle has all three of them ranked a little bit lower than the consensus, mostly because, not to put words in your mouth, Scotty, but it's like, it's just frustrating to have them. And given, you know, if you're sitting at the draft, right, and you have the choice between, let's say, Rex Burkhead, I'm just using one of them, right, and other guys that are around them where you may have a little bit easier of a time understanding what their role is, I would go ahead and go that way. All right. Last situation I want to ask you about, Scotty, when I was looking at it, is Doug Martin in Oakland. I mean, I think he's washed personally. But here's the problem. The person whose opinion who matters is, John Gruden. And he seems to, like, have some odd infatuation with Doug Martin. Can you help me make any kind of sense out of this one? I don't think he's got anything left, but if Gruden does, could Martin maybe actually be viable in Oakland?
It's hard to see. I don't know what Gruden sees in him.
But he does see something in him, Scott. He talks him up all the time. He went out and got him. Like, I agree with you. I don't see something, but Gruden does.
Well, with Doug Martin as a fantasy guy, it's just been burned too often. And even getting, like, he's still on the board in round 14 of Scott's Fishbowl, and I don't want to touch him. It's, you know, I think that this Raiders running back is going to be like a full-blown committee, like involving three or four guys. And, you know, outside of Marshawn Lynch, there's really nobody I want to draft.
All right, fair enough. And that just reinforces, Scotty, our point from the beginning. When you have all these committees and there's so much uncertainty, the one thing that is certain is that you get 6 points for a rushing touchdown. So if you can find those guys, whether it be Marshawn Lynch, LeGarrette Blount, or some others, we mentioned C.J. Anderson in that group. The one caveat with him is, don't forget, Cam Newton is as good of a goal line back as any. Hey, Scotty, you have a great day, okay, brother man? When we talk tomorrow, maybe we'll go to a different position, and it'll be the All-Star game. I'll give you my platform of how to improve All-Star Weekend. But until then, Scotty, you have a great day, all right? I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you.
Sounds good. The All-In Kid joins the fun when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez receiving the hot tag from the All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, who joins us now, the number one accuracy expert in the business. That's why you keep it locked here to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jake and everybody's going to help you win your league and win that cash. Jake, how you doing on a bright Monday? How was your weekend, brother man?
It was good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I was doing all right. It was good stuff. I saw a little bit of NYCFC. On a Saturday, they got a W, but as you know, my adopted nation of Croatia did not get it done yesterday. But, you know, I took some advice from people. I decided to hedge a little bit. The World Cup was still incredibly profitable for your boy Spies, the spitting statistician. But I digress. One football season is over. We now move to another American football because, you know, America, that's how we like to do it. And Jake, last week, the big news was the LeSean McCoy incident. We talked about this. We didn't want to play, you know, judge, jury, and executioner. But a lot of people were speculating, you among them, especially based on your 11th round pick in the Scotty Fishbowl draft, were speculating that this could be an opportunity for one DeMarco Murray. Well, we get word on Friday that no, DeMarco Murray is going to decide to hang them up. Jake, what does this mean for the Buffalo Bills? What does this mean for the rest of the free agent kind of crop that is out there? Did this news take you a little bit off guard? Because we were projecting DeMarco Murray to have a role this year in the NFL, potentially in Buffalo.
Well, I mean, that was the assumption that a lot of people have come to. Yeah. But we've also got news about that situation, too. So I think just got tired of waiting for what he wanted. Like, they already said the fact that the Saints had contact, but he didn't want to go there because he doesn't want to be a backup anymore. So it's surprising that he officially said he was retiring. It's not surprising for, I guess, the fact overall. It's just surprising that he hasn't waited at least until training camp or the season, for like at least preseason. Like, why does he even want to be involved with training camp anyway? So it was a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I would say that too. You would think there would still be a market for him out there. And to your point, you know, I would have waited on this until after the process played out a little bit, right, to see if there was a home. And to be quite honest, he could have done it in a way that avoided the grueling two-a-days of training camp and could have kind of dropped in, you know, in the middle of August if that was his want. But more and more people are deciding to walk away from this game, so we'll have to adjust our thoughts. But you also mentioned, Jake, we did get news out of the situation in Buffalo. It seems like less dire for Bills fans and McCoy owners, potentially. It's, you know, I don't want to read the tea leaves. And to your point, Jake, you didn't change the rankings in the first place until, like, the NFL actually came out and we actually knew he'd be missing time. But this story continues to, like, kind of move along the edges, and maybe he wasn't as involved as originally thought. Even the woman in question is starting to say maybe you know, maybe there was erroneous accusations in that one. But we're not going to talk about that too much because we're here focused on fantasy football. Jake, I got to tell you something. I've got other pieces of news and notes around Corey Davis, but we've talked about him, around Thomas Rawls on the roster bubble, you know, in New York. But if the wide receiver room is clouded for the Jets, what's the big deal of making the running back room clouded for the Jets as well? But here's what I want to ask you, Jake. I follow you on Twitter. Okay, and I was seeing that you had a busy weekend. At the top of the show, our guy Dan Stratford's talking about, like, the news and notes and mentioning stuff that Mike Tomlin had to say to other radio outlets and stuff like that. I saw that you had a chance to spend a couple of minutes with Mike Tomlin yourself. He's talking about big news potentially before this 4 o'clock deadline as it relates to Lev Bell. I saw you talking to Mike Tomlin yourself, Steelers coach. What was that all about? Did you get any intel for us, Jake?
Yeah, it was the same event. It was the Hampton Roads Youth Football. That's what they're referring to when they're talking about the Hampton Roads Fox Wavy TV 10 affiliate. It's the same. It's the same event. So yeah, I got to talk to him and Michael Vick.
So tell me about it. Like, what are the biggest takeaways?
No, you have to listen to On Target. No.
Look at this. He is short shrifting the listeners of Roto Experts in the Morning, saving it all. Saving it all for On Target. Okay, fair enough. Let me try and get at it this way.
Tune in tomorrow.
Okay, we'll tune in. Maybe you'll be a little bit able to divulge it after the world premiere on Target. There is the buzz coming out of this, though. You know, the public record, shall we say, not straight from Jake Seeley, is that it seems like he's comfortable or confident. He said something like, there may be big news today as it relates to kind of Le'Veon Bell and that contract. All I'm going to ask you is, after that kind of conversation, are you also confident or believing that things will be fine on the Le'Veon Bell front?
Oh, I didn't even ask him about Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was while he was on stage getting he asked some questions from fans, actually. And, of course, everybody asked him the same thing. Actually,
that's what the fans are going to ask him, right?
Yeah, the ABC affiliate here, the Wavy affiliate here, the CBS. Everybody asked the same damn question to start off with, and that's one of the reasons that people said that I got more from him than anybody's ever seen anybody get from him, because he's such a coach speak and he takes pride in that. But maybe just because I was from the fantasy realm, maybe because I didn't come at him with the same questions he gets asked by everyone. That's what you'll find out about tomorrow. It has nothing to do. I didn't even ask him about Le'Veon Bell because I don't care. We've talked about it on the show. I don't care if he doesn't play. I'll tell you the one thing he did say, that the only thing I did notice when he was going through that whole conversation with everybody. Yeah, you have that report that you saw on the other sites and stuff like that, that, you know, the Wavy TV 10 report and all that type of stuff. I don't think that he knows anything more than anything else. He said he's hopeful. He's hopeful that they got something worked out. He knows that it's the same thing they're going through last year or whatever. That something big could happen today. Well, yeah, of course. If he gets a contract today, something big is going to happen
today. Today's the deadline, so it's either going to happen today or it's not.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, you know, it doesn't happen today. But the one thing that he said is the same thing I've always been saying. He says he doesn't need to practice. He doesn't need, like, athletically. He said, but he does want him to practice mentally. There's a whole different thing of having your mind set to this is what you're waking up in the morning doing every single day for the entire day, getting back with the team, getting back with the playbook. It's just like a mental factor that he wants him to practice, but he knows Le'Veon Bell doesn't need to practice.
Yeah, fair enough. I was concerned with that as a dynasty Le'Veon Bell owner. Will he be able to kind of hit the ground running? You weren't worried about it. Mike Tomlin wasn't worried about it. What's interesting, though, as you mentioned, Jake, professional athletes, almost like no other being, are such creatures of habit, right? So you talk about him wanting to get into the kind of routine of, you know, whatever it is, engaging with the players, getting into practice, that sort of thing. I was watching on Twitter, though. Not watching on Twitter. I was looking at Twitter, though, and I'll tell you, one of the hardest hitting questions came from one of your fans. I thought you should have asked him, like, how was it him laying down in the street in the movie The Program, because of obviously his you know, his separated at birth with the actor Omar Epps. So I thought that was funny. We'll see. We'll keep it locked onto On Target here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network to see any of the other nuggets you got from Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin. Great get, though, Jake. The one other piece of news that I did want to bring to you and see how you thought about it was Darren Sproles, Philadelphia Eagles running back, has announced that this is going to be his final season. Now, listen, it looked like last year was going to be his final season. I think he may have even said that. But a la in years past, remember Mariano Rivera about 5 years ago, who was going to kind of walk away but then tore his ACL and was like, nah, I ain't going out like that, does in fact come back for one season. I want to mention two things about Darren Sproles, Jake. One, did you know that right now, currently, he is eighth all time in all-purpose yards in the NFL, and he would be able to get into the top five, surpassing Hall of Famer Tim Brown with 527 more all-purpose yards. And remember, that doesn't include like punt and kickoff returns as well. So I want to ask you, do you think he's going to get that? And then secondly, what does this mean for the Philadelphia running back room? You know, I think this just makes the committee, and I use committee over timeshare because we're talking about multiple backs here. Is this pretty much like the textbook thing of the committee? Because Sproles himself is not necessarily going to be as viable as a fantasy asset, but he may then compromise the value of maybe Jay Ajayi, but to a larger extent, a guy like Corey Clement. What do you think about Sproles? Will he get top five? And what does this mean for the Philadelphia Eagles running back room, Jake?
He has a chance. It's going to be close, I would say. Yeah. But it's the same thing I've been saying since day one. I think that we talked about it a couple weeks ago when we were talking about just not the sleepers were overrated. I don't remember what we were talking about. But the fact is, I don't know how many people out there have to say it. I don't know, because I'm not the only one. I'm just putting that out there. I don't know how many times we have to go down this road, but Doug Peterson doesn't use a bell cow running back. He doesn't. Enough people. He doesn't. He's only three times let a running back have 60% of the snaps. Three times he's only let somebody touch the ball 60-plus times. So 60% and 60-plus, two different things. All three of those times were Darren Sproles. It was 4 years. He's not somebody who's going to go out there and give somebody that kind of workload for everybody drafting Jay Ajayi as this top 15 running back. You know, there's excitement for Ajayi, sure, but you just can't expect that kind of workload from. But the bigger factor are the people that are drafting Corey Clement in the eighth and the ninth round, thinking like everything they saw at the end of the season was going to be, well, also look at what happened in the Super Bowl and all that. The fact is, Corey Clement is nice as a part of that timeshare that turns into a committee now that Darren Sproles is healthy again. Darren Sproles is back. He's going to be in the mix. He's been one of the most effective weapons that they've ever had. You mentioned he's been one of the most effective in the history of football. But the fact is I don't want a piece of this backfield for the prices they're going. I want Jay Ajayi if you give him to him as my RB3, but nobody's letting that happen because everybody's drafting him in the third round.
Right. So, you know, that by definition, kind of like that's the problem of the committee, right? You know, that's the issue. You know, like you're not going to be able to know on a week-to-week basis how it's going to play out, right? So relatively speaking, if you can get Jay Ajayi as a flex or as your running back three, that makes complete sense. But I think the point is a good one, Jake, that Darren Sproles may actually be I don't want to say number two, but may actually be the B-side of this because he plays that PPR role so strongly that Clement is really more of like a backup to both of them and could wind up being a little bit left without a chair when the music stops in terms of a clear role in this backfield. And remember, the Philadelphia Eagles just have so many weapons. We saw this on display last year. I mean, this is part of the reason why I was early on them and picked the Philadelphia Eagles last year at this time. I went position by position group and I was like, there really is no weakness. I thought they were getting better in the secondary, which was their only weakness. I liked the fact that they were doing this rotation at defensive line and how that really proves to be a way to get consistent pressure. I mean, when you got Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan as well, and on the outside, guys like Graham, the first round draft pick they had last year, Derek Barnett out of Tennessee, and they have now added Michael Bennett to that. Don't forget, in the back end, guys like Ronald Darby, they're also their first round draft pick last year. Sidney Jones out of Washington is a kid that a lot of people like. So at every single position, the Philadelphia Eagles are still dangerous, including
that Josh Sweat was there too.
Sure. I mean, think about it. They like the development of Jalen Mills too.
I meant he was at the Hampton Roads youth football thing too.
Oh,
the one that they just drafted.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Did you spend a couple of minutes with him too?
Oh, I mean, he wasn't like a big interview. I just walked around and I asked him who he wants to stick the most, and he says Saquon Barkley.
Oh, interesting. I said, do you want to stick Odell?
No. He's a defensive lineman, so.
Oh, I guess
he's
that's
never,
true.
Yes.
Yeah, so I still want to pop Odell, though.
No. Well, I also set it up as in, do you want to stick Zeke Barkley or Geist the most? So
gotcha.
He said him. And then I talked to Antoine Bethea for a little while, too, so.
Interesting. Antoine Bethea, great kid with the Indianapolis Colts for a lot of his career. Jake, here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you about their wide receiver room, okay? Jake, I believe Mike Wallace is going to be for this team what they were hoping Torrey Smith was for the last couple of years. A, do you agree with me? And B, if so, what does that mean for the herd of wide receivers? Specifically, what does that mean for a guy like Nelson Aguilar?
I don't necessarily think he's good. I don't know what you expected. I think you should tell me what you expected Torrey Smith to
do. The nine route, the over-the-top guy, the deep threat. Like, their attempt to replace DeSean Jackson for years. That's what Torrey Smith was supposed to bring to this offense, and he kind of defecated the mattress over the last couple of years. But I see Mike Wallace as like an improved version of trying to fill that same part of the scheme.
Not at this point of his career. I think he's the same. There's basically Torrey Smith. He's a little bit more skilled than Torrey Smith, but I think at this point in his career and this offense, I don't think he's what are you going to get from him? I definitely don't think you're going to get 800 yards and 6 touchdowns or anything like that. I think you're going to get
45, 606.
Not quite. No, I don't see the touchdowns for sure. I think the yards and catches may be doable, but I still have him for less than that. It's just an offense where like you need him, unless Nelson Aguilar takes a huge step back, who finally put things together. And I admittedly was off on him because I've been off on him since college. Great route runner, great hands. I just always thought that he potentially peaked in college, and for the first 2 years of his career, he looked exactly like that was the case. Like, he wasn't going to improve and make any changes to become anything in the NFL. And last year, it really clicked. And if you're going to be a good route runner in hands and you're going to improve, you're going to have a role in this offense, especially with the style of this offense. So I don't think, unless Nelson Aguilar just takes a huge step back, there's going to be a lot left for Mike Wallace, especially with Darren Sproles and Zach Ertz. And like, there's just not enough. This is one of those situations where you can say the pie, there's only so many pieces to go around, because the pie is not going to get bigger from what Carson Wentz did last year.
Right. So maybe a little bit of a fantasy herd. And so from week to week, we don't know who's it going to be. Here's what I want to ask you about. On that point, Jake, on that exact point, I was doing a little bit of diamonds and fugazis for the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's kind of hard because you expect this team to be strong. You think they're going to be a good squad. I had to land on Zach Ertz as my fugazi. And let me kind of explain why, Jake, to you. A lot of people, you know, are having him definitively in that tier, right, of the top three tight ends, along with Kelsey, along with Rob Gronkowski, okay? And if I look at the last 3 years of Zach Ertz, Jake, you know, the targets have been relatively consistent, 112, 106, 110. The receptions have been relatively consistent, 75, 78, 74. The yards have been relatively consistent, 853, 816, 824. What has not been consistent, Jake, is the touchdowns. 3 years ago, he had 2, then he went up to 4. Then last year, when he is in this top 3, he has 8 touchdowns. If he were to have another 4 touchdown season last year, he would be down in this other tier with guys we talk about like Olsen and Graham and Rudolph and Ingram and Walker and people like that. Now in this you know, offense this year, where we just talked about how there's so many weapons, so many options for them to score, and we've talked about how touchdowns year to year are a little bit flighty. That all adds up for me feeling like maybe Zach Ertz is a little bit overvalued. I think the receptions and the yards will be there, but I'm a little bit skeptical about hanging my hat on another 8-touchdown season for Zach Ertz. What do you think about Ertz and what might be the implications of his touchdown production for where he is in the tight end rankings?
I'm not with you at all. I think you're overthinking a little, honestly, because Zach Ertz just hasn't shown, you know, consistency through his first couple of years. In those first couple of years, he didn't have Carson Wentz. Basically, actually, to his point of last year, he had Carson Wentz the year before. But Carson Wentz was a rookie and all that type of stuff. So the fact is he was developing through the league. There was a lot of options on this team. There's a lot of changes on this team. As he was developing, now we get Carson Wentz making his development last year and stepping up in a big way. So I think that's, you look at all that fact, and he is number one. Not number two. He's not number two. It's not Alshon Jeffrey, then Zach Ertz. It's Zach Ertz, then him at this point. Zach Ertz is the best passing game weapon they have right now because of the mismatch issues he has with any defense that he faced. So I don't see an issue at all. I have him for 7 touchdowns this year, so one less. So I don't think it's going to be any concern.
Okay, so you think that touchdown production will be consistent for Zach Ertz, and he belongs up there in that top tier, along with Kelce and Gronk. Generally speaking, Jake, which Eagle are you going to have more shares of this year? We talked about their wide receiver room a little bit, Jeffrey, Aguilar, Wallace. Some people even like a guy like Mac Hollins, for goodness sakes. What Eagle are you going to have a lot of shares of? What Eagle are you going to have relatively fewer shares of than the competition this year?
Well, you already know the answer to the first question. I told you that a couple of weeks ago. He said, if you're going to keep giving me Carson Wentz in the 8th round, I'm taking him every single time. I'm going to have 100% of Carson Wentz if he's going to be in there in the 8th round. So right now it's Carson Wentz, and then in best ball, it's also Darren Sproles, but that's it.
Okay,
fair enough. I have to say, Alshon Jeffrey's fallen a little bit. People are like, for some reason, I don't know if they're doubting him or they think that – I think part of it is like they're just expecting Alshon Jeffrey to always reach that upper tier, and he never did, and some, I guess there's disappointment for fantasy-wise or whatever. I forgot. Yeah, I've been getting a decent amount of Alshon Jeffrey too, because he's in that range where he should be a high-end wide receiver too. He is. He's a high-end wide receiver too, but nobody ever treats him like that seemingly.
Sure. No, I hear you. He could push 950, you know, 1,000 yards. He's another guy that can get you 7, 8, 9 touchdowns and will probably lead the Eagles, at least their wide receiving core, in receptions as well. I'll take him as a back end wide out too all day long if he's still available. You mentioned Carson Wentz, Jake, and listen, you're right. If you're talking about him in round eight or nine, I guess the thing is, like, we talk about injuries all the time, and I feel like I know where you're going to go with this, but, like, are you not concerned at all? Like, if you're drafting him, don't you want a guy who's at least going to be definitively ready for week one? But are you just saying, like, until I hear otherwise, you're going to assume that he is, in fact, ready for week one? How are you playing this kind of rehab of Carson Wentz? I understand that you like him, right? And I think he could throw 4,300 yards. He can get another, I don't know, 28, 30 touchdowns. He also has some value in the running game as well that not all quarterbacks do. So I get all that. The injury is what gives me any kind of cause for pause. I mean, I guess it does for Andrew Luck and others as well coming back. But are you're not concerned about the injury at all? Talk to me a little bit like you're Dr. A or Jake the Skeleton here on this one. How do you feel about Wentz vis-a-vis the injury return?
No, I mean, as of today, no. As of today, I'm ranking Andrew Luck like everything's fine. All we have is to go off of what we have. Yeah. So, you know, and we get to August and he's not out there or anything is a question mark, then you know, you adjust at that point. But as of today, everybody, unless it's something more like Deontay Foreman, where the team themselves are saying he might start the season on the pup, well, that's a different scenario. Everything so far for Luck and Wentz has been positive.
Right. Let me ask you this, though, with Wentz, because a portion of his game is, you know, he got some running yards last year. You know what I mean? He was able to do that. I understand you think he'll be out there, but do you also, you know, kind of still then agree, like, he'll be able to get, you know, he finished with basically 300 yards rushing last year, 299 in, you know, not in, what, 13 games played. So he could be a 350 rushing yard guy. Do you still anticipate that level of rushing production also coming off the knee injury? Or do you think they might, you know, change it a little bit, how they use him?
It's not to change it. The teams try to change things all the time, and the perfect example is Cam Newton.
Carolina, yeah. Him.
So it's just, no, I have him for 250. So not quite that level, but I have him for still rushing for a good amount.
All right, fair enough. You know, I just didn't know, like, obviously, you know, you expect him out there and expect him to perform. You know, I do think that this rushing yards are a part of his game, unlike all other quarterbacks. So I wondered if even any part of that was compromised. But it looks like Jake Seeley has, generally speaking, the, you know, kind of the same outlook for Carson Wentz. Jake, last thing for you on this piece before we move on. The Eagles over under, their season win total, Jake, is 10.5. Okay, the defending Super Bowl champions. Listen, they have that first place schedule. I know we don't necessarily, you know, you and I put different levels of importance on it, but 10.5 is a pretty high number, Jake. Are you willing to take the plunge with the Eagles, or are you passing over on mybookie.ag?
No, yeah, I'm not touching a 10.5 number for anybody, right. Pretty much.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the idea of, like, that's why I look at the Patriots number all the time, but, like, it's just hard. It's just harder to, you know.
That'd be the only one. I would take the over on it.
Yeah, the Pats are not 10.5. I think the Patriots are, like, 11.5, though.
I thought they were 10.5 to start.
Maybe it's been bet up. I'll go ahead and I'll double check that over the break to give you the most accurate and up-to-date reads over on mybookie.ag. But remember, okay, you can go on over to mybookie.ag, enter the promo code FANTASY, F-N-T-S-Y, and you will get a 50% deposit bonus. And remember, you can always use the prop builder tool as well, Jake. So if you like the Eagles but think that 10.5 is a little bit too risky, you can slide it down. Obviously, it will change your payouts. That's the nature of props, but go on over and check it out. Tell them the Speeds and Spit instead of Stitch and sent you. That it's mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code FNTSY at checkout. Hey, Jake, real quick, before we go into the commercial break, because we do have a minute or two, former Eagle Terrell Owens has been in the news lately. You know, he's going to be enshrined in Canton. And Jake, I don't know, I'm excited. The Hall of Fame game this year, it's only 2 weeks away, Jake. It's only like 2.5 weeks away. On August 2nd, actual action will be getting started.
That's not how you should be promoting that weekend.
That's
Flex weekend in D.C., so it's the very first Experts League draft of the season. So that's how you promote that weekend.
Wait. What do you mean first Expert League? Aren't you guys in the Scotty Fishbowl and all? Aren't some of all these drafts already happening?
That's not Experts drafts? Only. That's not Experts
Only.
Oh,
excuse me, because you got fans. You got 900 owners in that one. But, yeah, as it's going down, I mean, yeah, August is when the Experts are drafting. I know I'm going to be drafting, I think, in the GST League, one of these. You got Flex going on. We got NFFC. We got all sorts of stuff. And people from the Fantasy Sports Network will be there letting you know how it goes down. But, Jake, I still want to promote Hall of Fame weekend because I still want to talk about former Eagle Terrell Owens.
I know. That's just what everybody's paying attention
to. No, but I appreciate you making it for me having to kill 4 minutes to only having to kill two. That's why you are a pro, Jake, and I appreciate that. But talk to me here. Terrell Owens is going to be at his, like, alma mater, like Tennessee Chattanooga, giving a speech, and then the Hall of Fame kind of retorted, you know, in this battle of words, saying, like, all right, well, we're not going to really mention his name. We're going to only talk about the guys that are there. Jake, T.O. needs to get the stick up his butt, I think. Like, he got it. You know, he lobbied to be a Hall of Famer, you know, for a while. He finally is there. He gets the gold jacket. I mean, what do you think about this kind of idea that he is, I don't know, like, dissing the Hall of Fame and not going there? Good play by T.O. or crying over spilt milk?
I understand why he's frustrated. What did I tell you to jump off of this thing? I said this is like two little school kid things, and it's going to go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and they should just let it be, and he should just go. And but I called this coming. You know this, Dane. We talked about it. I said he's going to say this. They're going to say don't come. He's going to do that. And now they took it to the next level. The NFL's being petty, and you know what? Like, could just, you know, he wasn't going to come. You do your thing. He's not going to come. Just leave it alone. But no, we have to take it to the next level. Now you're not going to mention his name. And, like, this is just stupid at this point. Like, if he doesn't want to come, he's doing his own event. That's fine. You know who backed him up? Michael Irvin. Because you know what?
You
screwed him over for 2 years, to be all honestly. So if he doesn't want to go and he wants to do his own thing, I'm not going to blame him that much. I would love to see him there, but to be honest with you, I'm not going to be surprised. There's going to be a hell of a lot of people trying to watch Terrell Owens' little event by himself because they want to see him talk and not all the other people.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. You know, the thing it reminds me of, Jake, is like Pete Rose signing autographs down the block, you know, from the Hall of Fame in baseball, you know, still becoming the attraction that he is, always wanting to kind of like still be in the public eye in that way. Terrell Owens will be doing the same thing. Hall of Fame game. And of course, Jake, flex leagues and all the expert leagues are going to start getting going. We'll talk a little bit more about the NFL and get you ready for those expert leagues. Or even auctions. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Jake Seeley and Dane Martinez, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Come on right back.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Modell's.
Frenzy. I had Alvin Kamara like under 9 hours, and now he's back in 24 hours.
There's people who do it in the drafts too. It's like going once, going twice, bid. Like, oh, you got me. You shocked me. I'm not going to bid now. Like, oh, what a surprise.
All you're doing is prolonging it. But if you went on to play that much, by all means, go right ahead. Listen, you're rocking with the best. So, you know,
don't wait.
Don't worry about money. Thank you, Jake. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Don't try to draft my team. Draft your team.
Weekdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
When you're hiring, you don't want to waste time sorting through dozens of irrelevant resumes. You want an efficient way to get to a short list of qualified candidates. That's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements. Then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover Student Loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah.
Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
It's Carton and Friends.
Gambling in New Jersey. They raked in more than $16.4 million in bets and about $3.5 million in revenue. They netted $3.5 million in 17 days. That means that would do about $30 million if you had a full month. Come September, when you have baseball and football, I would tell you that'll be $75, $80 million. New Jersey will make about $15 to $20 million a month.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Welcome back, Roto Experts in the Morning. Dead in the middle of little did we know we were riddled to middleman who didn't do diddly. There you go, Jake. That's a little big pun for you. As you know, I am partial.
I'm impressed.
I am partial to Puerto Ricans from the Bronx, Jake. I mean, come on, if I got to stack up my top five.
I could never rap that fast, so I'm impressed.
Yeah, big pun. Big pun was the man, yo. Big pun was the man, but I digress. We could talk about that another time. Jake. There's a break of the Major League Baseball season, but that does not mean, Jake, that there is a break for ways to win a little bit of cash, okay? I told you to go on over to mybookie.ag, and I told you you could use the prop builder, right? The other thing you can do is you have odds right now. You can make a choice on the Home Run Derby that is happening tonight. It's going to be going on tonight. We got 8 people in it. And, Jake, first of all, I think we should start with this. There is no Giancarlo Stanton in this field. There is no of your boy, J.D. Martinez. There is no Aaron Judge in this field. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. And so let's start there, you know, because we got some, I mean, there's some nice stories in this field, Jake, but, you know, Alex Bregman, yeah, I know he's got like 20 homers or whatever, but he's a little man. You know what I mean? Like, so talk to me, I guess make the comparison, Jake, about the home run derby and say like the slam dunk contest. You know what I mean? In basketball. Why is it that the best of the best, the guys we would truly want to see in this, why are they not there, Jake?
Because I'll tell you why. It's the same narrative if everybody has. It's the narrative in the fantasy sports. It's the narrative in real sports. People look for a narrative, and that's what ruins it. The fact is, nobody's ever gotten hurt. Nobody's ever significantly ruined their career in the second half of the state. The only person, one time, Bobby Abreu fell on his face in the second half after winning the home run derby. But Bobby Abreu wasn't supposed to be hitting that many home runs to begin with.
Right. Like, he had that one round of like 24. I remember that.
Right. But like even the first half leading into that, Bobby Abreu was on a pace that a lot of people in fantasy and a lot of people in majors were calling for second half regression for Bobby Abreu. Like, that's not a surprise. If Max Muncy comes out of his home run derby and only hits six down the rest of the stretch, would it really surprise anybody? No. Does it have anything to do with the home run derby? No, it doesn't. There's been tons of winners. There's been tons of people who've hit tons of home runs and haven't slumped at all in the second half. Cespedes, Hamilton, mm-hmm. We go down the list. I mean, Vlad Guerrero was always near. Ken Griffey Jr. was winning this thing on the regular and did amazingly after. Dave Ortiz. I mean, people who have won it, not unless, also the people competing in it. It's this narrative that, oh, you're going to get hurt. You're going to overswing, which, first of all, nobody's ever pulled the Michael Conforto and swung their shoulder out of socket and got hurt in the name one. Nobody's ever gotten hurt in the home run derby, so that's already out the window. Then nobody ever falls off in the second half because of the home run derby. Abreu fell off because he wasn't that good. Or not. He was good. He wasn't as good as he was that first half.
He wasn't a power hitter, though. He was never a power hitter. He was a gap-to-gap doubles kind of
guy. So they used it as excuse, and then the players say it, and people double down, and like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I can see that. No, for what? Maybe they want a day off. I don't mind that. I think it's disappointing. I think it's disappointing when Stanton, Judge, J.D. Martinez, you know I wanted to see Martinez. I think it's disappointing when they don't do it. I think it's disappointing when the players in the NBA don't do the dunk contest, although now at this point, it's so lost that I'm not even going to be disappointed anymore. I mean, that thing's gone so far out the pasture that just stop it. Just why even do it anymore? The people on those, the courts and the stuff like that, or those competitions or the dunk thing that they had, the dunk king that they had on TNT, those stuff was better than anything they do in the NBA anyway. But the home run derby, we still want to see. We still want to see the power stuff. Like, Joey Gallo should have been in this.
Like, yeah, Nelson Cruz, Chris Davis?
Nelson Cruz, he's another one I can understand. He's been banged up this entire year, too, so I can understand.
Chris
Davis with a K. We could, I'm looking at the home run derby bracket right now.
Where's Mark Trumbo?
Trumbo sucks right now. So I'm looking at this right now.
Power hitters that I would love to see put up this exhibition. Let's go to the bracket shit. Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's three people in this that I would continue to, I would still had in the home run derby, and then added Martinez and Stanton and Judge and Gallo. And
yeah, I want to see Schwarber's Lightower power. He would be one that I would still want to see.
I'd keep Schwarber, Aguilar, and Heiskes in there. No, I don't want. Bryce Harper sucks this year. Bryce Harper hit under 200. Bryce Harper hit under 200 for 2 months straight. I don't care.
But it's in D.C.
I don't care. So you're at home, so you deserve to be there even though you suck? Let's put Trey Turner in it then.
Nah, I would like. Then they should put Scherzer in it if we want to go that route, right? And see how that.
I kind of want to see Ichiro in it too.
Listen, I've been saying for a while I would love to see Ichiro. I wanted to put him maybe in like the pitcher home run derby with like Syndergaard and Mad Bum in a few years, but then Shohei Ohtani blew the roof off of that. All right, Jake, let's make our picks. All right, let's make our picks because over on my bookie, okay, let me tell you right now, though, okay, Bryce Harper, the hometown kid, is the favorite, okay, at plus 180.
Can you bet the opposite?
Well, no, you cannot. Not at least, unless you go on over to the prop builder tool over on mybookie.ag. But let me run down the odds real quick, Jake, and then we'll look at the brackets and the matchups, and we'll kind of crown our champion. Sound good? So we've got Bryce Harper at plus 180. He's the favorite. Second choice is Kyle Schwarber at plus 300. Then there's a gap down to Javi Baez and Jesus Aguilar at plus 400. Muncy at plus 500. Freeman at plus 600, Hoskins at plus 750, and the long shot is Alex Bregman at plus 800. In the first round.
Surprise.
Right. In the first round, Bregman faces Schwarber. I think Schwarber takes that. I'm intrigued to see Schwarber's power. We saw him put it up on the scoreboard in Chicago. We've heard about what I call the quote-unquote light tower power. I think Schwarber moves on, and I think this is fairly easy, right, over Bregman in the first round?
I'd be shocked if Bregman won that matchup.
Yeah, okay. So let's move Schwarber into the semis. I think he got an interesting one in Jesus Aguilar and Rhys Hoskins.
That one, they screwed him. Well, how did Hoskins get the 8 seed?
I don't know how Hoskins is the 8 seed. I don't know. That's the thing, Jake. I don't know if they're, like, looking at stats. You know what I mean? Because how is Bregman the 4 seed ahead of some of these guys? Are they looking at just pure stats? Or are they looking at the makeup of the guy and how much of a power hitter they are? I agree with you.
It should just be ranked 1 to 8. How many home runs do you have at the break?
Well, that's not what they did. So Aguilar and Hoskins, who you see moving on out of that one?
Aguilar. This is good.
This
might be the most interesting first round. This is the most interesting first round matchup, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I think the Muncy-Javi Baez is interesting too. But
I think Muncy's going to walk away with that one.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Baez is he's one of the ones that's kind of like Arenado. Right. I don't think he translates to a home run derby.
Interesting. I could see that. So you've got Schwarber against, was it Hoskins you picked or Aguilar?
Aguilar.
Okay. So you got Schwarber.
And that should be
Aguilar
the final. The left side has got three of the favorites.
Right. You got Schwarber versus Aguilar in one kind of semifinal, a la Belgium versus France, shall we say. And then you got Muncy. And because you're so down on Bryce Harper, am I going to assume you have Freddie Freeman moving on?
I don't know. This could go either way. If Bryce Harper shows up as Bryce Harper, he should take it. Freeman's
hometown field, though. You think he's going to be juiced up for it because he's playing in front of the home crowd?
Sure. I'll take Bryce
Harper.
That's
the way I'll go as a tiebreaker.
Freddie
right?
Freeman's another one. He's like a little bit better version of Alex Bregman. Yeah, he doesn't. Right. It's another person that I don't see translating well. Like, I think he'll get 7 or 8, but I don't think it'll. I don't know. Maybe only 5.
Okay. It sounds like
Harper versus Muncy.
It looks like you want to move Muncy on to the final, though, right? Because you like Muncy here.
Muncy should.
All right, and then who do you like, Schwarber versus Aguilar?
I'll go take Aguilar.
In the semis. All right, so you've got a final of Aguilar versus Muncy. Is that correct, Jake? Aguilar versus Muncy.
Yes. Yes.
I got a question for you. If you like that as a final, would you go on over to mybookie.ag and lay both of them, Aguilar at plus 400 and Muncy at plus 550?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Take both of them.
As you were listing the numbers, I was. That's exactly
you're
what
doing
I'm
it. Fair enough. You're doing it. Fair enough. I like that. So you're laying a little bit on Muncy and on Aguilar, and then if you wind up, you know, having the final like your boy Speeds did with France and Croatia, you're hitting money either way. Let me ask you about this, Jake, real quick. You know, in the home run derby, I'm reminded of Robinson Cano, who had his dad pitching to him, right? Bellinger last year, I think, had his dad pitching to him as well. Is there any strategy you think about who you have pitching to you? Do you want the batting practice guy from your team or someone else? Like, I've seen people do different things of who it is that's pitching to them. What do you think about that, Jake? Any kind of strategy there? Rhyme or reason? You want someone you're comfortable with? Or is it like a platform to get, like, you know, your dad a little spotlight?
No, it's just whoever you're most comfortable with. And it could be hot dog vendor in the stadium if he throws the best. I mean, it's whoever's the most comfortable and consistent for you, because some people like it a little bit lower, some people like it a little bit higher. I was always one of those people who liked it a little bit lower, so it just comes down to, like, we played home run derby, me and my buddies, a couple of years ago. I won, of course.
You wouldn't have brought it up if you didn't win, Jake.
No. Well, I only had 6. It's not like I was, like, crushing it, like, home run after home run after home run. But I think we had, like, 20 pitches, too. But the fact is, like, there was some – one of my friends kept throwing it, like, almost chest high, and the other one, I was like, no, you're throwing it too high for me. I can't do this. And so we switched, and I like somebody who – I like it lower. I like it more around – I don't know how to describe that area, if you get what I'm saying.
I gotcha. You know, the new strike zone, they used to say was from the letters to the knees, but it's a little bit further south.
I like it above the knees.
Above the knees and
thigh range.
Below the belly button. There you go. That's a euphemism right there. Thigh range, Jake. I like a lot of things. Thigh range. Jake, what about also a couple of years ago, they switched the format of this. Remember, it used to be like 10 outs, and now it's like a timed clock. You can earn extra time. There's like
a
money ball involved. You like that? Tell me why. though, because wouldn't that lend to maybe someone having to take more swings? I know you mentioned that no one has ever
gotten it's strategy.
But Aaron Judge hasn't really talked about it. He was asked point blank about his shoulder in the second half last year, and he was like, ah, I don't really want to talk about it. But you like the element of strategy and the gold ball and stuff like that?
Yeah, it definitely it's you just outswing yourself, and that's actually why I wouldn't take Muncy to win it. I think he might kind of, or he's young, he's a little bit over aggressive, and
he might blow his load in the semis.
And yeah, he might just get a little bit ahead of himself. But that's the thing. I'm also you're looking for somebody with the body that can. That's why Aguilar for me is the favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if Hoskins surprises everybody. That's the thing. It's like body type and for skill. Like I'm looking at Aguilar, Hoskins, and Schwarber as the guys because you know the ones that can continue to swing with that kind of power. And not basically not swing 100% every single time, but still get him out of the stadium.
Yeah, I like that. You know, so the all-in kid is going with Muncy and Aguilar. Speed's a spitting statistician. Likes your analysis, Jake, but I'm going slightly different. Give me Kyle Schwarber. Okay, I'm going to take Kyle Schwarber, and one of the reasons why is because his first-round matchup, I think, is a little bit easier than your picks. You mentioned Aguilar as one of your picks, but he's got to get through Hoskins right there in the first round. I think
Help Schwarber. No.
That's
who goes
true.
First?
So he's going to know
Bregman
what he needs to be.
Then he could just be like, I'll hit five and be done.
And chill out and like take a selfie with the umpire and pose with the Gatorade. And I do like how they have things like the home plate camera and other things like that, how they have the young kids out there.
You know what would make it really interesting? Oh, the kid! No, one of these kids one day is going to get clocked.
One of these kids are
going to
get drilled because you got like a 15-year-old who's trying to make like real plays, and then you got like an 8-year-old running around being all happy. One of these days, the kid's going to get nailed.
This is what they should do, though. This is the person that they're facing should be in the dugout, like in the locker room, like hidden, and not know what the number is he needs to beat.
That's interesting. I have seen them sometimes down there taking soft tosses and stuff like that in the cages. But maybe that's like in between
rounds.
But
I'm saying you can't tell them what the number that they have to be.
I know what you mean. That's like a soundproof room, like in Family Feud or something like that.
Exactly.
Right?
So when you come out that if only Bregman hit only two, Schwarber doesn't know that and just like,
there's
my three.
He's got to put his full effort
in. Yeah.
Right. No, that's interesting. But I'm going to go and take Schwarber because I think he's got an easier path and I think he's built for it. Jake, the last thing I want to get into here on Roto Experts in the Morning as we put the fun in functional sports radio, I gave you my platform on Friday. And, you know, Jake, great minds think alike. You were talking about the same thing. I was watching a Yankees-Indians game over the weekend with my boy. You know, we were just chatting it up about baseball, and the shift was there. You know, so I forget who it was, but was facing like the incredible shift. And we talked about like how there's buzz about like making the shift illegal and how people need to just hit against the shift. What about some version of that as an All-Star Weekend kind of game, Jake, where like you get these guys and they have to show bat control, like something flashes up on the screen, right? And it's like opposite field and they have to go opposite field. And there's one that's like pull and he's got to go pull, or one that's like fly ball or something like that. Because people are talking about beating the shift so much. I would love to see the kind of bat control kind of game. Maybe there's like different points in different areas of the field where you hit it or something like that to show that you have the ability to quote unquote beat the shift. Cause it seems like nobody can do this in Major League Baseball anymore, Jake.
I was laughing because that's like one of the other things we talked about.
Final
thing. But here's the difference. Now, so you're a little bit different. It wasn't like a beat the shift thing. It was, do you remember the old basketball one where there was like a 4-point area and actually paint on the floor? That's what we're saying, like paint certain areas of the field.
And they got to nail the targets.
And make them pretty decent size, but like certain areas, you were starting to get into it with your second part of that is, it's 5 points if you hit it over here on a line. Right. It's, 2 points if you can get it between shortstop and third base of like where they would line up or like that type of stuff. And that was the different, like, I like that thought. We were talking about it, like the hitters who know how to do that kind of hitting in general, like
should
a Benintendi. Yeah.
Right, absolutely, the spray hitter. I was thinking about taking it even a step further, Jake, and almost like have it literally right before the pitch, like flash on the Jumbotron what they have to do. You know, so it says like this pitch, opposite field, boom, and then like there's
that'd
some
be kind of interesting.
Pass.
I think you gotta give them a little bit more heads up than that. Like you can't just
so
do
they
like
get
that
three
fast.
Pitches. It's like you get the next three, you'll be oppo, and then the next three are to the gap. And the next three are like fly ball, you know, or the next whatever it is. But there should be something where hitters should have to demonstrate their ability to show bat control and hit it to different parts of the field. And quite frankly, I would love to see these lefty pull hitters have to do this. Like, show me that you can rope the opposite way, you know, and even maybe a bump down third or something like that, that you mix it in. But we shall see. They will be the home run derby tonight. The all-in kid is on Jesus Aguilar and Max Muncy. I'm on Kyle Schwarber of the Chicago Cubs. Interesting that Bregman is the only member of the American League in this home run derby, but it is not.
Because all the other ones bailed.
I know, everyone's bailing, similar to the slam dunk contest. But listen, it is an opportunity for you to win a little bit of cash. So we will see. Jake, tomorrow we'll continue our NFC East previews. We talk Philadelphia Eagles. We got three more teams in that division to cover. And we'll see if we gave out the right derby winner, all right? Have a great rest of the day. Mike Tomlin with Jake Seeley on the next episode of On Target as well. Stay tuned for that. Carton and Friends is up next on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a great day, Jake, all right?